When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final, live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. One more hour to go on this Friday to end out this week and send you into your weekend. We hope a smarter, sports better, and a more enjoyable sports fan. We've got the regular season finale weekend in the NBA, but of course, a ton of focus on what is happening right now in round number two. It is cut day at Augusta National Golf Club for the 89th playing of the Masters, the 2025 Masters Tournament. Rory McIlroy, Ludwig Åberg, Akshay Bhatia now on the course as well, beginning round number two, as is our round one leader. He is playing the lengthy par three fourth at Augusta. Justin Rose trying to get up and in to stay at 8 under par and stay at 1 under through his first four holes here on Friday. A lot to get to here, DRS, in this third and final hour. And we will go to Augusta National up next with our guy Keith Stewart for a live update on the grounds of the 2025 Masters.
All right, let me take a look here. I'm on the rundown right now. So let me just go over what the people can't anticipate today. We're going to talk some golf, awesome stuff. Okay. Major League Baseball. Hey, hello. It's about time. It's baseball season. I think I'm taking off 10:32. Yeah. Waste of time. Oh my God.
You like breaking down now, games,
I'm out
though.
On the segment. I'm out on the segment. Like, I'm out. I'm out.
You like breaking like, down games, though?
Yeah, I like
the
breaking
recaps
down.
Are tough.
No,
setting
I can't,
the stage
I can't
is
do
tough.
It anymore. I can't do it anymore. Like, I was really enthused. Was you going over setting up the hour? I'm like, you know what? I don't think I have any NBA. And to see NBA again in hour number three really demoralized my weekend right now. I don't even know if I can do pro baseball today, Sunday. Now I'm so upset.
Wow. All right. Maybe you'll call out there. We can get some help for Tom Vecchio. DRS, I just would say, right, it's the regular season finale weekend. There's still a lot at stake in the NBA, conference standings-wise, playoff positioning-wise. And from a handicapping perspective, a little bit difficult, right? But here on the early line, we try to get those early reads at where things are based on the players we expect in a starting lineup to be available, motivation being a handicapping tool. I don't know, not the worst. I'll continue to provide some Masters updates at 10:32 and 10:44 so we can eat
Let's
up some of the time.
Together. Let's just watch it together. We were in studio for the final four watching live. We can do hour number three. We don't have to go swing by swing. I don't think we're allowed to do that here on certain networks.
We're not.
But why don't we just watch the Masters in hour number three, relax and have some fun? We can do that right now.
Well,
we can go shift on the fly.
Okay. On number four, by the way, lengthy par three. Okay. Great approach by Justin Rose.
Love
Guys
it.
Guys having to use the fairway metals off the tee. It's playing a little bit long right now at the fourth, I should say. Rose was well short of the green, probably about 45, 50 yards away. A beautiful pitch shot to put it up to about 3 feet. He tapped in for his par. He remains at 8 under. He is 1 under through his opening four holes on this Friday in round number number two. He still maintains that four-shot advantage DRS at Augusta.
Yeah. By the way, also, let me ask you this question, because we love hole-in-ones. Okay. Are we going to get one today? Are we going to get one Saturday, Sunday? Or how about the tournament itself? Like, there's about 16. Like, where does it come from?
The normal pin placement is at 16 on Friday. Because four yesterday, guys were throwing darts at the back right. But as I said today, playing a lot longer. They're using fairway metals and long irons off the tee. Six is always hard. 12 is very difficult. And with the winds picking up this afternoon, good luck. I do think we could see a couple of balls in the drink on number 12. By the way, got to talk about the water at 12, known as Ray's Creek, in just a moment, based on what one of our amateurs did yesterday. Indeed, DRS. 16 is often, if there is going to be a hole-in-one at the Masters, it is 16. Sunday is your best shot. It's tucked into that left side. You get the slopes, you get the undulation that brings the ball to the pin and to the cup. But I think on Friday, it's on the right side of the green, short right, making those hole-in-one opportunities a little bit more difficult to come by.
That's what, when you see these golf courses like Augusta National, most people, like, you've played probably a lot of public golf courses in your life, you know, some private golf courses, which are very nice. But I get a kick out of, like, if I played Augusta National, and when I was playing, like, you know, back in my mid-20s, you understand, like, the caddy's going to tell you, like, make sure you stay to the right side of the green. Man, you're going at every single pin. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like,
it
don't
matter.
The pros are so good that they can, like, you know what, stay to the right side of the pin. Or when you see some of those, you know, par threes on the back, or you got to just make it over the water, it's a short hole. Like you can't go for the pin. You're like, don't we always, amateur golfers, go for every single pin and never listen? You know, public be damned on if you hit it over the green. Make sure you don't go long. I'm going at the pin. I went long. So what? Looks like a five for me.
DRS, I think that's one of, like, the biggest differences between even the best amateur golfers pro golfers. One of them also being just scoring around the green. They're not going to leave too many strokes out there outside of Rory yesterday on 15 and 17. Mm. If they have a 45-foot putt, that's going to be a two-putt 99.9% of the time.
Yes.
One of the others is, if you told an amateur, hey, you have 165 yards and an 8 or 9 iron or a 7 iron in your hand, and you put it 25 feet on the green, you're like, one of the best shots I've hit in the last 4 weekends. If you are a pro golfer and you need to be on the right side of the green to have this slope and you want to be under the cup so you have about 15, 16 feet, and you put it on the left side of the green about 30 feet away, that might be the worst shot you hit all day long. That's one of the main differences, I think, in terms of the approach game and ball striking that the pros have. That's why they're playing at Augusta right now, and that's why we're giving you the live odds update. So let's do that here by hearing from the people. Who's going to win a green jacket at weekend's end? Who is going to be in Butler Cabin having an interview with Jim Nance and the chairman at Augusta, Fred Ridley? That was the question for all of you in Fade the Public. Four options for you, Sports Grid on Twitter. Who will win the Masters? Justin Rose, our round one leader, who has now extended that advantage. He has a four-shot lead at this moment, 8 under par. Corey Conners, Scottie Scheffler, Ludvig Åberg, all at 4 under. Will it be Rory McIlroy? Will he finally complete the career Grand Slam after the disastrous close to his opening round? 4 under through his first 14, 4 over in his final four holes. Can he see a resurgence on Friday and into the weekend? Or will it be Scottie Scheffler donning the green jacket for a second consecutive year, a third time in the last four? Or might it be an other? If it was an other, we asked for a reply. Most of the public, DRS, more than 59% of the vote, backing Scottie Scheffler. Frankly, how can you not? Pre-tournament favorite at a 4-1 price, fires an opening round, 4 under 68. Bogey-free, completely in control, completely in command, and despite trailing Justin Rose by 3 shots at the end of day number one, his price to win a green jacket was 4-1 to enter the tournament, 2-1 at the end of Thursday.
Yeah, he's going to win it. I voted for him, so I wasn't fading the public at that point. But you take a look at Rory McIlroy at 11.8. By the way, Justin Rose, 7 under yesterday, birdie early today. People don't give a damn about that. 4.1%, which I do think is kind of funny. But understand this, too. Like, there's been some magical Masters in the past that we know about. Obviously, 1986, Jack Nicklaus at his age, coming back on the back nine, winning that. Absolutely one of the majors that everybody will remember. Tiger Woods' first major there at the Masters. He ran away with the field, lapped the field, where they actually tied tiger-proof that golf course over the next couple years because they thought Tiger might do that every single year. But Rory McIlroy, who has yet to win a green jacket, the way he played yesterday and being seven shots back after day number one, where he hits the gas pedal on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and wins this thing in a close back nine effort on Sunday, that would be absolutely outrageous. I don't think it's happening, but you want to write a storyline where how did you get your first one? Where it's like, hey, I played well all four rounds and then I closed it out. Like, no, Rory's probably at his lowest moment leaving the golf course yesterday. Like, I don't know how many more opportunities legitimately I have where I might be in the lead or close to the lead in day number one and I blow it like that and then win the tournament. That would be something spectacular.
DRS, 18 of the last 20 Masters winners have been in the top 10 at the end of round number one. Not a lot of love there for our round one leader in Justin Rose. But that basically means that our winner is going to come out of Justin Rose, Corey Conner, Scottie Scheffler, Ludvig Åberg, Tyrrell Hatton, Bryson DeChambeau, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Sungjae Im, Aaron Rye, or Jason Day. Akshay Bhatia could be in there as well. How about my guy, Victor Hovland, still even after his opening hole of the day? But don't need to hear it from Donnie and myself. Keith Stewart, live from Augusta National Golf Club. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Live from Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, Keith Stewart joins us live right here on this Friday morning to preview all that we will see in round number two at the 2025 Masters Tournament and his reactions to what we saw during Thursday's opening round as well. Keith, as always, a good morning to you. It does seem as though the sun is shining bright and early on this Friday at Augusta.
Ben, Donnie, it is a spectacular morning here. But you know what? Last night, the surfaces got a little softened. We did get some rain in the midnight to 2 a.m. hour, and that accumulated to maybe a little less than 0.2 inches. So the guys that are out this morning, very little wind, softer surfaces than they're going to see this afternoon. This afternoon, the wind's going to blow. So I think the guys in this morning wave have somewhat of an advantage.
Keith, we talked about the trends, the early window into the late afternoon, Thursday, Friday split. That has been the last six winners during the springtime when Augusta normally hosts the Masters. You said keep an eye, though, on that late afternoon and early morning. And in the late afternoon yesterday, as we get your reactions to round number one, it was Justin Rose atop the leaderboard, firing an opening round 65, 7 under. The fifth time after Thursday that Justin Rose in his 20 career Masters starts has led after round number one, a new record at Augusta. What impressed you most about what Justin Rose did on Thursday?
Well, you know what? A number of things. You know, when you go around this place, you play on the razor's edge. You have to be able to really manage your golf ball. And we saw it a number of times yesterday. I mean, no more unbelievably than how Rory's round tanked on the 15th hole. But getting back to Rose is that he is really good in big spots. And the reasons for that is that he just doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Now, he's 44, so maybe he's not Scottie Scheffler and the lack of mistakes that Mr. Scheffler makes going around Augusta National and major championships. But if you look at Rose's record, the five first round leaders here, no one's led more rounds at Augusta National and doesn't own a green jacket than Rose. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or if it's an insult, but at the same time, you get the point. His game fits in major championships. He's got two top tens this year, guys. Both were in signature events, AT&T and API. He's got two top tens in majors last year, once in Valhalla and that runner-up in the bad weather at Troon. Justin Rose at 44 years old is working on his legacy, and he's got the game to do something about it.
And he's playing well also to start today, one under par already. But Keith, I want to get to Rory McIlroy right away with you, because we talked to you earlier this week and you were saying you didn't think this was going to be the time that he was going to win the green jacket, but playing well coming into the tournament. I took him for a top 20 in round number one yesterday. I see him get to 15 and go, he's four under par. Like, birdie, par this, bogey on the way out, you get a top 20 finish. The collapse happened and it was unforced errors. It was like sometimes we just have a bad tee shot or get a bad break. You see that all the time. Or, man, I can't believe my ball actually landed behind a tree and now I'm going to have to take a drop or I can't deal with it. Those unforced errors he had were atrocious down there, but it seems par for the course for Rory sometimes at Augusta.
DRS, I mean, he sat in the 15th fairway. He had a 28% chance to win the tournament, to win the green jacket. He finished his round with a 1.7% chance to win. And it's funny because I was on with Carver when all of this was taking place. And he had Rose as a first round leader. And he's like, I don't feel safe with Rory. He's already in the fairway on the par five. He's going to make eagle and Mike's going nuts and everything. I said, you know what? Let's just let this play out. And I know that Ben asked me the question yesterday morning, you know, what about Rory? And I don't know if I answered it to the best of my ability, but we all knew at some point, or at least I knew at some point, that there was going to be some sort of mental lapse on Mr. McIlroy. And we saw it yesterday. I thought it'd be a little later in the tournament, but it happened yesterday when the pressure mounted. All of a sudden, the ball started finding the water. And then the other double bogey was just really just not good golf, totally unforced to your point, DRS. For Rory being at even, he's four back from second place. He's seven back, well, now eight back from the leader. I mean, a lot needs to happen. I heard you guys right before the break as I was logging on. You know, it's tough to come back for more than the top 10.
Yeah, let's see the resolve. At Rory McIlroy on the course right now, beginning his second round, did make a par on his opening hole at number one. It is really that resilience, Keith. And when it comes down to the mental aspect of Rory trying to change that narrative and finally win a green jacket to complete the career Grand Slam, with how disastrous the close was yesterday, you got to see a spark of joy and energy right away on this Friday. But let's also talk Scottie Scheffler. Pre-tournament favorite, opening round 68, four under, bogey free. Scottie Scheffler makes playing the Masters seem rather easy at times, although it is a very difficult test. Where do you put Scotty on this Friday and his outlook for winning his third green jacket in the last 4 years this weekend?
Ben, the outlook is very, very positive. Yesterday, probably the most important thing to point out is that Scotty had a clean card, right? He just walked around this place like it was easy. You know, the scoring average at the end of the day was plus 1.6 strokes over par. Both waves were about that same number. You know, only 26 players finished under par. He's sitting right there at four under. Great champions. They never go out like rabbits. They just pace themselves. He'll hit four under for 4 days, and, you know, he'll be 16 under, and the next closest guy will be 10. I mean, Scotty just doesn't make the mistakes, Ben. And, you know, Rose yesterday in the interview room, and I want to bring this up for the viewers. He said it so well. The reason that top 10 after round one trend is so strong here is because if you have to chase, at some point, you have to make a decision to go after a pin that from the middle of the fairway that you just can't do it. And these guys are so good, they convince themselves, I could hit that shot in that corner, or I could do that. But that's what makes this place so special. You go, you make an unforced error, you make a bogey, and you go backwards rather than forwards when you're trying to hit the gas pedal. The car stalls out. Scotty just won't do that. And he'll just beat you with 1,000 paper cuts over the next 3 days.
Mm. The favorite right now, the favorite entering the tournament, Scotty tees off in round number two at 1:23 p.m. Eastern time. Keith, as you enter round two Friday, cut day at Augusta in the weekend that looms, on Sunday evening, who ends up in Butler Cabin donning that green jacket?
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, I think it's either Scottie Scheffler or the very young version of Scottie Scheffler. I think the more things change in golf, the more things stay the same. I think Scottie and the kid, Ludvig Åberg, are going to be right there on Sunday, and they're going to have another rematch. And I tell you what, it's going to be another special week down here at Magnolia Lane.
Ludvig Åberg, a four under par 68 in his opening round, a par at number one to start round number two in that group with Rory McIlroy. Keith Stewart, enjoy the weekend at Augusta. We know you will. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. An update from Augusta, right as Keith Stewart departs the show. Justin Rose, the first blemish of round number two on this Friday. DRS, bogey on the par four fifth. Back down to 7 under. Rose birdied his second hole, the par five second. He has now dropped his first shot of the second round. A bogey on five. He is 7 under par right now. Still a 3-shot advantage for that top spot at Augusta.
Yeah, and look, you're going to get those changes, the ebbs and flows. When you're the leader, everybody's hunting you down. The pressure is there immensely, which I did like. Overnight, you sleep with that lead. Sometimes not a comfortable sleep. And then you got to perform on the golf course. You saw that early birdie, and now you're going to have those struggles. The key part is don't let them compound. Don't go bogey, right. Like, oh, no. And then the next drive on the next tee goes into the woods, and away you go blowing your entire lead there. So he's been around the block multiple times. We'll see what happens at this point. But fun. Look, day two, day three. Moving day, fun stuff, man. I love it.
We will continue to bring you those Masters updates live as we see them. Of course, Rory McIlroy, Ludvig Åberg, Akshay Bhatia, one of the marquee groups, one of those featured groups in this early morning wave, playing the par 5 second as we speak. Åberg tied for second, 4 under par right now. What is Rory's resilience on this Friday cut day at Augusta? DRS already for the third time this year. Today in Major League Baseball, we get the Dodgers and the Cubs. A part of a full slate Friday, all 30 teams in action. That means 15 games across the docket. Late night in L.A. at the Ravine, the Dodgers will play host to those Cubbies. The Dodgers, after a historic 8-0 start that included sweeping the Cubs in Tokyo in that early two-game set, have dropped 4 of their last 6. Yoshi Yamamoto gets the start today. Dodgers more than a $2 favorite at home against Chicago. DRS in the updated odds. The Cubbies playing good ball, a 9-6 start to this season. Who wins game number one of this weekend set between two marquee clubs out in Los Angeles?
Yeah, well, it looks like it's going to be the Dodgers based on the betting principles here, right? Minus 196 is the opening number, still sits at minus 198 is the actual live number, which is interesting. That creeps a little bit higher. And also talking about the money line markets here, everybody, about 8 out of every 10 tickets here coming in on the Dodgers still with that impressively high price point. Total this game opened up in New Jersey, 8.5. That has dropped to 8, and I actually agree with that. If we're looking at the pitchers last year, Matthew Boyd was a decent pitcher, only saw 213 batters. This year, 45 batters that he's faced, an 0.26 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 264 if we combine those. Now, granted, righties have gotten, actually, no, righties he's been really good against. A 0 ISO this year and a 198 weighted on base percentage. He's actually gotten to a little bit of trouble with weighted on base percentage against left-handed batters, which was interesting, which no better left-handed batter in the business than he's going to see in Shohei Ohtani today. But if you look at that lineup, it's decent for the Dodgers, no doubt. Ohtani, Betts, Edmund, Hernandez, and Will Smith. But the bottom of that lineup, Kike Hernandez, Max Muncy, Rojas, and Paez have not handled left-handed pitching all that well. Flip it over to the Chicago Cubs with Yamamoto on the mound facing them. He was great last year. 434 batters he faced, a 135 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 272 and a high K rate. Take a look at this year, Ben. Limited innings again, only 44 batters he's faced. A K rate combined of 34%. To lefties, 42%. His weighted on base percentage against 304. Now, he's struggled a bit with right-handed batters, which is interesting. Seiya Suzuki in the middle of that lineup might be a guy that could have the capability to do damage. And by the way, Kyle Tucker ripping the cover off the baseball this year as well.
A great offseason acquisition for Chicago. DRS, as you well know, down in regional Philadelphia, down in South Jersey, here in New York City, it's not great weather this weekend on the East Coast for early April. We're talking low 40s, high 30s, and a ton of rain and wind expected. So as we set the stage for an interleague intriguing matchup this weekend in the Bronx, I would be surprised if all of these games are played between the Yankees and the Giants. Tonight, New York, a slight favorite for the opener with Marcus Stroman on the mound, minus 126 on that money line. Robbie Ray goes on the other side for the Giants. San Fran, a 9-3 start to this year. What should we expect tonight inside Yankee Stadium?
This, and again, it's a shame that we're not getting 75, 80 degrees and a pretty clean outlook. But we had the opening number was a split at minus 110 here for the New York Yankees. That has risen now, as you saw that graphic, to minus 126. The total is 8 across the board. And Ben is right. 46 degrees at first pitch, rainy in the forecast, 10-mile-an-hour winds blowing in directly from center field. The one thing we like, Robbie Ray last year was a terrible pitcher, particularly to left-handed batters, which is interesting. This year, still continue to struggle slightly with limited amount of left-handed pitching, but the right-handed batters, a 250 ISO power number. Anticipated starting lineup tonight, Jason Dominguez, the only guy below average against left-handed pitching because the Yankees have had a pretty good start against lefties. San Francisco, however, should be able to get to Marcus Stroman, their left-handed batters, instead of a few of them tonight. Keep an eye. Maybe a sneaky over, even with bad weather.
More Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on this Friday. It is Cut Day at Augusta. We'll continue to bring you those updates throughout round number two coverage of the 2025 Masters. One of our featured groups, Rory McIlroy, Ludvig Åberg, Akshay Bhatia. They are playing the par 5 second right now. A couple of good birdie looks. Rory in the trees off the tee. But a good shot to get back in play and a beautiful approach. He'll have about 10 feet for birdie, trying to get under par here in round number two. As we shared, Justin Rose, our round one leader, who had birdied that par 5 second hole, did drop his first shot of the day, a bogey at 5, back to 7 under par. DRS, let's round out our MLB preview for this weekend. Full slate Friday around the bigs. Baltimore and Toronto. The O's and the J's in a divisional duel today inside Camden Yards. DRS, the team with the worst record right now in the American League East, it would be the O's at a 5-8 mark. Yet Baltimore still second best price to win the American League pennant behind another divisional mate in the New York Yankees. What do the Orioles need to figure out this weekend to get back on track?
Maybe it's just better weather in their own ballpark, as you see today. Mid-40s there, rain in the forecast, and double-digit winds blowing directly from Utah Street out there in right field. So we'll see if we can hit some home runs out of the ballpark, maybe to left field. But if we are taking a look at the pitching matchup here, you take a look at the Toronto Blue Jays with Francis on the mound. Last year, 408 batters he faced. How about this? A 175 ISO, which is average, and a below-average 275 weighted on-base percentage, which is good. And also, neither side of the plate here, being a right-handed pitcher, affected him all that much. It was basically equal, which is a good sign, because sometimes, like, hey, he really deals with lefties very well, but not the right-hand side. You take a look at this year, it's actually a lot of the same. ISO power number a little bit elevated for lefties, but down for righties. Weighted on base percentage low for lefties, but a little bit up for righties. Here's the key. Again, we don't have hitting conditions yet at Camden Yards, which is a shame, because Rutschman, O'Hearn, Westberg, Mullins, and O'Neill all have really elevated weighted on base percentages and also ISO power numbers and really low K rates against right-handed pitching, something to keep an eye on. But if we take a look at the opposite side today, and that's with Sogano on the mound, obviously, we don't have any statistics in Major League Baseball for him last year, but this year we do only have 41 batters that he's faced. How about an ISO, Ben, of 108 and a weighted on base percentage of 302 and a terrible looking lineup for the Blue Jays against right-handed pitching this season alone? So maybe today it's just by default, you at least have a decent matchup on your side for the Baltimore Orioles.
The O's a minus 130 money line favorite inside Camden Yards. DRS, any spots on this full slate Friday with the host of pro baseball today that you find some value across the bigs?
Yeah, we're going to tell you, it's tough going in April because you have to adjust some scenarios. Yesterday I went 0-2, missed out on a couple things, but more relying on the average to be above average has been a little bit of my downfall the past 2 days, meaning guys batting in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th hole here's with good numbers to start the season through 25 at bats, you know that's going to average out, and so it looks like they're already averaging out. So more for me the focus on the top 5 batters in the lineup with good matchups and bring in a little bit of the statistics from last year into this year, but also make no mistake about it, there are some decent looks out here across, but I do want to make sure I'm not burning myself saying, boy, I like this matchup, but it's 38 degrees in that ballpark. There are some chances with some warmer temperatures in the warmer weather cities and domes that I might be approaching a little bit more today than outside. But I told you, like that Yankees game, it's like it just brings you back in. Like it has some intrigue. Like, man, why can't this game go over? And then it's 1-0 in the 5th. Yeah. And it's like, it's freezing here, Donnie. What are you doing?
it's freezing, it's cold, it's breezy, yeah, and there should be some rain. Again, if a couple of those games between the Giants and the Yanks get postponed throughout the weekend, I would not be overly surprised. Yeah. 82 runs scored by the Yankees, the most in the American League. 96 runs scored so far by the Chicago Cubs. That's the most in all of Major League Baseball. They have played 15 games, but they are hitting the ball well. We showed you what Chicago has this weekend out in L.A. against the Dodgers. 72 runs for the St. Louis Cardinals, DRS. They will host Under the Arch this weekend your Philadelphia Phillies. Aaron Nola in the Phils, a slight favorite for the opening game of that set today against St. Louis. Some good American League Central divisional duels. We've got the Tigers and the Twins. We've got the Royals and the Guardians starting today as well. San Diego, more than a $2 money line. My favorite for the opener against the atrocious Colorado Rockies. Padres, best record in the National League at 10-3. Rocks, worst record alongside the Atlanta Braves at 3-9. By the way, the Braves head to Tampa to take on the Rays. They're a slight underdog in their opening game of this weekend set against the Rays at George Steinbrenner Field.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one, too, because you take a look again, some warmer weather conditions and also a really late night game for the Braves and the Phillies. That's usually a detriment when you're flying out. It's akin to what we look in the regular season, that Sunday night baseball curse almost. Like, hey, man, I just played late into the night, then I got to fly out and play a game on a Monday. Those teams usually at a detriment at that point, and maybe the Braves and the Phillies combined. And by the way, Nola is a name that you understand, but I don't even know if Nola's the best pitcher on the mound today going up against St. Louis, which could be a problem for them. Keep an eye on that one.
Ooh, who's on the other side? Pallant?
Yeah, Pallant had very good numbers from last year and a decent start to this season. So it's one of those where it's like, hey, Phillies will bounce back against lowly St. Louis, who was picked to be dead last on the odds race at FanDuel. That's not the case early on, and I don't know if Nola's up to the task today. We'll see.
The Cards got off to a great start, but they have dropped seven of their last 10. They are now 5-7. Update from Augusta. Number two, the par five, Rory McIlroy has made his first birdie of round number two. Birdieing the par, 5 second. He is now one under par. Of course, Rory got off to a sensational start yesterday. One under through his opening hole. Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, on the course. Ludvig Åberg out there as well. Even through his first two. Justin Rose, even through his first five today. Still our leader at this moment. Seven under par.
Yeah, hey, well, I'm excited about it. You're going to have the movers and the shakers today trying to jockey for position because you can't win the Masters, Ben, unless you make the cut at the Masters. Isn't it so simple sometimes?
It really is, DRS. By the way, the best round of the day so far, Sung J.M., two under through three. Nobody else is more under par than two under right now. Jose Maria Olazabal, former Masters winner, the Wiley vet, two under in his opening nine as well. As Keith Stewart pointed out, a little bit of rain overnight, not a ton, but soft conditions, winds calm in the morning hours. It will get windier this afternoon, as we have shared. The last six times the Masters have been played in its usual start in early April in that springtime calendar, the early to late window, early round on Thursday, late round on Friday, that has been our champion. This year could be a little bit different. Of course, our round one leader teed off in the afternoon. That was Justin Rose, and off to a solid start this morning. I mean, that's good work. And I know you know what that good work is. Taking up about 8 minutes of a 10-minute segment. Are you happy that we didn't have to spend all that much time on the NBA?
Look, if we can skip and you know filibuster through the next segment as well, it'll be one of the greatest hour number threes in Friday history of the early line here. So we got good Masters talk, we got good Major League Baseball talk, leads into a very high, you know, hour number three finish here, hopefully, because the vibes weren't high to start hour number three, but I'm starting to get the energy back. I'm starting to feel good. I'm starting to get ready to go here. I think we got something.
All right, but I want you to keep that energy high as we talk about the Nuggets and the Grizzlies at altitude tonight. Denver, a 7-point home favorite, total of 244. Memphis on the second leg of a back-to-back. They got beat by 16 at home last night against the Timberwolves. DRS, how do you approach the matchup?
Two different ways. I do like the Nuggets. They're favored by a touchdown. I think they win this game. There's a chance they can win by 10 points, so I'll take them that direction. But you know what's interesting? Overnight here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 239, Ben, now up to 244, and other outlets already around 250, 245 and a half. I'm going to go under in that. Back-to-back elevation here. Nuggets just looking for the victory. I think I'm going to go Nuggets and the under tonight and a big game out of Nikola Jokic.
That total is going crazy. Yesterday, total working down for the Grizzlies game against the Timberwolves, and it skied to the over, 141-125. Memphis, one of the highest over teams this year in the NBA. Denver snapped its four-game slide in its first game without Michael Malone on Tuesday, winning by 8 against the Kings in Sacramento, covering as a 4.5-point favorite. That was just their third cover as a favorite since the All-Star break. The Grizz have not covered in 9 games as a dog since the All-Star break. More NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The final weekend of the NBA's regular season. All 15 games that we have tonight means all 30 NBA teams in action on this Friday. Day off tomorrow, Saturday. Everybody in action for regular season finale Sunday as well. DRS, we have set the stage for what is at stake. Nuggets, Grizzlies tonight. Memphis, -550 to be a play-in tourney team because of their difficult schedule to end out their final two games. They're a 7-point road underdog tonight at altitude. The Nuggets still in the hunt for the 3 seed, but really just trying to hold off the Clippers, if at all possible, to earn a top 4 seed and host the opening round of the postseason. Of course, both the Grizzlies and the Nuggets will face off tonight, both teams with interim head coaches. Let's get out to Northern California. California's capital, the Kings playing host to the LA Clippers. The Clippers, a 6.5-point road favorite. The Clippers have won 6 consecutive games. The Clippers, after dropping 6 of their first 7 following the All-Star break, have won 16 of their next 19 to reach this stage. Does LA make it 7 in a row tonight over Sacramento?
7 for 7, baby. Let's go in this one. You take a look at that opening number at 6. Now move to 6.5. I completely agree with it. That total 227.5 now down to 226.5 if we're just reading between the lines. And you're right. Sacramento still does have something to play for, but certainly clinching that environment. Bigger things to play for me with the Clippers. And the better team overall is the Los Angeles Clippers. They're healthy. They're full go tonight. If I think they win this game, I'm going to take them to cover that 6.5 points here tonight. So let's do it. Go
Clippers. Yeah, DRS, I do agree. The Kings right now, a game lead over Dallas. Both teams are play-in tourney teams, and both will be in that 9-10 matchup more than likely. Sacramento at this moment trying to hold on to home floor advantage for that 9-10 game to win it and then have a chance of being the 8 seed in the postseason. Dallas, however, 12.5-point home favorite tonight against the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are a great cover team, second best cover team this year in the association, who has often been booked as a dog, probably not going to win that game outright. Big one for the Warriors, who currently are in the 6th spot out of the play-in tournament, and they are a road favorite tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers before a difficult matchup to end the regular season against the LA Clippers on Sunday afternoon. Golden State tonight, 14-point road favorite against the Portland Trail Blazers, over under stands at 225 and a hook. Golden State was a 17.5-point home favorite earlier this week against the Spurs, who have nothing to play for without Victor Wembanyama, without De'Aaron Fox, and it was Harrison Barnes beating Golden State at the buzzer. And Golden State figure it out tonight as a hefty favorite in Portland.
They'll win. 12.5 line at the opening number here in New Jersey at FanDuel. 14s now. Who knows? Some other outlets also showing Ben 14.5, so getting higher and higher. They'll win this basketball game, but you know where I probably would focus more is not laying the side itself, but that total, which is dropping, and I agree, overnight, 227 at the opening numbers. You see on that graphic, it's 225.5. If I do think the Warriors win and mean business tonight, that means shutting the Trailblazers down on offense. So instead of laying the 14 points, I'm more confident that, yes, the Warriors might be win by 14 points, but I'm not so sure Portland gets over 100 points tonight with Golden State's defensive effort, knowing about that last performance and against that spread that they were supposed to easily cover and win. They lost that late. Give me a good defensive performance in this game. I agree with the buy down to 225.5.
The Dubs still 21-7 straight up since Jimmy Butler's first game in a Warriors uniform. Portland 37-28-1 against the spread, booked as an underdog frequently this year. That's 66 games so far of their 80. It's a large number. Golden State should win comfortably. Another double-digit spread late night in Los Angeles. The Lakers hosting the Rockets. Could be our Western Conference semifinals matchup if the Lakers, with a win tonight, clinch the 3 seed and both teams win in the opening round, as Houston has clinched the 2 seed. It's going to look very different, though, by the time we get to the postseason, as Houston really resting their starters and key contributors down this final stretch of the NBA regular season in its final few days. 10-point spread in favor of LA. Emotional win for the Lakers earlier this week in Dallas. Can they bring it back home tonight to LA to clinch the 3 seed?
Yeah, I think the Lakers do win, but again, as you handicap these games in the morning, you tell me again, the Rockets, the same way I talked about the Cavaliers earlier in the show, it's like we can't just shut it down for a week and a half and then expect to just turn it back on. You have to play your guys and get them used to it, and that doesn't mean you have to play them 40 minutes, but let's just say the Rockets have their starters in there for the majority of the game. They'll cover the 10 points, but also, I wouldn't want to bet early in the morning the Rockets, and they say, you know what? We are totally going to rest. We're going to play some guys on Sunday, and that'll be that. Because then the Lakers might be winning 15 to 20 points at the break as opposed to the game. So this is one to keep an eye on. But for me, again, if we're not playing a lot of starters, meaningful game for the Lakers mean they'll be locked in on defense. Maybe that also 225.5, which is the total, stays under as well for me between Houston and L.A.
I swear I saw somewhere the magic number for the Lakers to clinch that 3 seed was 1. Yeah. Now I'm getting conflicting reports, but again, it would help them a ton. It is. So the Lakers, as a double-digit favorite tonight, will clinch the 3 seed with a victory over Houston. That's the action in a very jam-packed Western Conference. Still a lot to figure out. Denver and the Clippers trying to win games to stay out of the play-in tournament. Same for Golden State. Minnesota, a very easy stretch against both Brooklyn and Utah to end the regular season. The T-Wolves, despite being the 8 seed right now, DRS, not expected to be in the play-in tournament. We'll see what happens by the time we return on Monday. Let's get out to the Eastern Conference. The Knicks, 7-point home favorite tonight inside the Garden against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, 7-point spread. I do wonder how this game will look tonight by the time we get the tip inside MSG. Will the Cavs have any of the regular starters out there? What about New York? Might the Knicks elect to rest a couple of people? Donnie, what do you think this game looks like inside the Mecca tonight?
Again, that's going to be the issue waiting till game time. But also, I think a lot of people have the same concept as me. That line overnight was -11.5, both on back-to-backs. But again, Cleveland, it'd be one thing if Cleveland's like, okay, we're going to play half our starters last night, half tonight. It's like, okay, I get a good read on it. Like, Cleveland basically played nobody yesterday. And I doubt they just say, yeah, had some fun backups, go out there again and play 40 minutes in the starting lineup. Like, no, this might have been that game they circled, say, this is the get-right game for us. We'll rest again on Sunday, then we'll be off to the playoffs. Because that 11.5 has now turned into -7 across the board. And a total of 226 and a half. Let me see who the starters are, because I guarantee you, you see a full Cleveland Cavaliers roster tonight, even though you know they only might get 1.5. That line's coming down even more from the 7.
And can the Knicks finally beat one of the top two teams in the Eastern Conference? 0-7 straight up against both the Cavs and the Celtics. It might not be Cleveland at full strength, but it could be used as a rallying cry for the Knicks. DRS, have a great weekend. Enjoy the money line, my friend. More on the early line up next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So let's take you through a couple of the marquee games that we still have outstanding for the Eastern Conference on this Friday. What is still up for grabs as we share? The New York Knicks, are they trying to hold on to the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference? Now just a 7-point favorite at home inside Madison Square Garden against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have already clinched the number 1 seed. Are they going to rest all of their starters for a second consecutive night, even with resting those key players? Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter nearly led Cleveland to an outright win as a 9.5-point dog against an Indiana team that still has a lot to play for. And as the Pacers did not cover but got a victory edging out Cleveland's backups last night, the Pacers have clinched a top 4 seed in the Eastern Conference standings alongside the New York Knicks. But who is the 3 seed? Who is the 4? Who might those teams see as they host the opening round of the postseason? Season ended today. It would be the Knicks in the 3-6 matchup against the Pistons. It would be the Pacers in the 4-5 split against the Bucks. Milwaukee, 2-game lead over Detroit. It more than likely should be the 5 seed when all is said and done. However, the Bucks do play the Pistons in each of their final 2 games to end out the regular season. Both teams in action last night. Milwaukee absolutely blowing out the Pelicans, winning by 25, covering as a 14-point favorite. Tonight, the Bucks travel to Detroit, where the Pistons last night at home taking care of the New York Knicks, winning by 9 and covering as a 3.5-point favorite. I think that line, working its way now to 6, tells you all you need to know about how tonight might go. Might Milwaukee sit some guys on the second leg of a back-to-back only to make sure they clinch that 5 spot on Sunday afternoon at home against Detroit? Again, the Pistons have been booked as a favorite far more frequently, 14 times in their last 20 games, only 22 times prior in the first 4-plus months of this NBA season. Overall this year, Detroit 19 and 17 against the spread as a favorite, 18-6 against the spread favored in 14 of their 20 games since the beginning of March. To me, that's a Detroit line. I might back the Pistons tonight to try to give something to play for come Sunday in Milwaukee. The Bucks should be the 5 seed and should take care of business on Sunday afternoon inside the Pfizer Forum in that second of 2 games against Detroit over these final 3 days of the NBA regular season. Again, the Pacers only trail the New York Knicks by a game now. Indiana, second leg of a back-to-back, 7.5-point home favorite against Orlando tonight. The Magic trying to hold on, and they should, host that 7-8 game in the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference come up Tuesday night. The Magic playing better basketball. They have won 4 straight. They have won 8 of their last 12. 7.5-point favorite tonight because Indiana has so much more to play for. The Pacers could control their own destiny, kind of, if the Knicks don't really want to be the 3 seed. They should cover tonight. But Indiana's been an awful cover team despite winning 6 in a row. They have only covered once in this 6-game win streak. They are the 4th worst cover team of any team booked as a favorite 10 or more times this year around the association. All right, deep breath. Let's get to Friday in round number 2 at Augusta National for the 2025 Masters Tournament. Ludvig Åberg, a birdie on number 3, the short par 4 to start his second round. He is now 5 under par, only trails Justin Rose, our round 1 leader, by 2 strokes. So here's a couple of bets that I have for this Friday action, either for the tournament overall or for this day. I have Victor Hovland under 71.5 at a pretty good plus money price. That number, of course, is gone now live. He is 2 under for the tournament, 1 under through 4 in his second round on Friday. Part of the idea is Hovland has found his game in the last month in the world of golf. Part of that idea also is the early morning wave. Hovland on the course right now, along with many other marquee star players, is supposed to be a lot easier than what we will see later this afternoon when the winds pick up pretty steady around 10 to 15 miles per hour. So if you want to look at some future odds for the remainder of this week at Augusta, or what we are seeing right now in round number 2, those guys on the course currently may be where you should be. So I've got Victor Hovland under 71.5. I also just put a wager in on Ludvig Åberg to finish top 5 at minus 140, plus 550 for Åberg to win. But of course, Scottie Scheffler, after a bogey-free opening round 68, is still your favorite at plus 210. Here are my other bets for the weekend. This was all bet pre-tournament. Not a great Thursday for me. Rory to complete the career Grand Slam. John Rahm, a hothead. Not off to a great start. Willie Z, let's finish top 20, my friend. For all of you, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.